When I was growing up, my great-grandparents had a picture of Jesus. I brought it in a couple of years ago, for Good Friday, a copy of it. It's a picture of Jesus sitting in Gethsemane, looking over Jerusalem on the night before he died. And I was looking at this picture. I was on the phone, and it's in the living room. And I had looked at it for a while, and I thought, this is really a good Lenten meditation. I'm going to put it in the chapel. This picture, I wanted it very badly, and I asked my grandmother if she would give it to me when she passed on it. But my aunt also loved it, and she had first dibs on it, and so she got it. And I spent years and years looking for a copy of my own. And I ran across one or two, but they were never quite the same as the one that I wanted. And in fact, I found one in my first assignment. It was leaning up against the wall at my first office, as if it were a gift from my grandmother, But the original I did not have. Well, finally, I got the original. It turned out my cousins were about to throw it out. I just happened to be there, and I got it. So, and I'm looking at this picture, and Jesus is saying, he's looking at Jerusalem, and one can hear him saying from the Gospels, if only you recognized your opportunity when God offered it to you. Alas, it was hidden from your eyes. God had done everything possible for them. And finally he said, so be it. I leave you to your fate. God forbid that he should ever say that to us. I leave you to your own choice. Lent is a time when God offers us this opportunity, haunting moment. Here we are so far from Christmas. This is the latest Lent has been in at least 50 years. All of us were ready. I remember it came on February 3rd a couple years ago. I was not ready for Lent. I didn't have a very good Lent that year. I am determined to have a good Lent this year. I think our country needs it. I think we need it. Our church needs it. We all need a good house cleaning, don't you think? And this is the time to do it. One of my favorite stories, and I've never told this here at Mass before, when I was a deacon, my spiritual advisor at the time, Father Pascal, up at the Abbey, he said, you've traveled a lot. Why don't you go to France for your deacon retreat? And I said, all right, I'll do that. I went on my own. Didn't have a GPS, didn't have anybody with me, didn't speak a word of French except ooh la la, and that wasn't too helpful. au revoir, ooh la la, and a few other little oddities. Well, among the places that I visited was when I went to Paris, people always think of Notre Dame as being the preeminent church there. But actually, there are a number of beautiful churches there. Sacré-Cœur, the Sacred Heart, that's a fairly new church, 150 years old, meaning fairly new. But the one that struck me most deeply was Saint-Denis. Has anybody here ever been to Saint-Denis? I'll try to describe it to you. I didn't know what to expect. I had to take a train way out to the suburbs. It was not in Paris at the time of the kings. When you go in there, it's the National Cathedral. All the kings and queens of France are buried there. Every single one of them that I could tell. All with graves right in the nave, the way old European churches have them. I think it's kind of difficult to pray in a place like that. But you'd find Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI. He was the last king, and he had went to the guillotine. Louis XIV, the Sun King that built Versailles. All these incredible individuals, all buried here, was a very precious place for the royal monarchy. During the French Revolution, they came into that particular church, not without reason. They went for that one in particular, and they blew out all the windows, so you won't find any stained glass windows there at all. They're clear. They've never tried to put them back in. And they took all of these famous people, all of the kings and queens, and disinterred every single one of them. They took the bones and threw them around and had a party with them. If you can imagine. Imagine the scene. So when you go there today, you can still see the graves of the kings and queens, but they are not there. They are not in their graves. Instead, you go down to the basement, and there is a big sarcophagus, and They're all in there, all like the Vietnam Memorial Wall, listed. But you can't tell one bone from the other. You can't tell Marie Antoinette's arm bone from the King Louis XVI's leg bone. Nobody knows which belongs to which person. Isn't that amazing? I just find that so moving. I was so moved by that. I said, you know, it's going to be the same with me someday. This world is temporary. Even the Palace of Versailles, the person that built it could not live there, could not stay. This is what Ash Wednesday is all about, that we might gain some wisdom for our lives. This is the meaning of the ashes. There is great wisdom in facing the reality of our mortality. When we do that, life suddenly lines up like an arrow, and things become very clear. Our world does its best to hide from the reality of death. You know, some of these people, movie stars and things, they have so many facelifts, it looks like their face is made out of plastic. What are they doing? They're hiding from the reality of aging, but it doesn't change a thing. We have, oddly enough, in our culture, you can die and still be very much in the entertainment industry, can't you? Elvis makes more money now than he did when he was living. I'm not sure he's dead. Since the advent of photography, it's as if people haven't died. But where are they now? They're not really with us. They have left the earth. They do not live here anymore. We fool ourselves. We ourselves don't want to look. We don't want to see what's coming. We act as if we don't have any faith. But the world to come, God wants us to be not afraid of the world to come, to be prepared. Lent is a time to prepare. It's a little death. That's the ashes for 40 days. We're going to enter into a time of a trial run at death. And it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. But God gives us, the Lord gives us a wonderful program of the spiritual life in this great gospel from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. First, Jesus tells us, don't do things just for show. Nobody's impressed by it. Most of all, God. The best things are the hidden things. Now, what is it that's out of order in my life? The first thing Jesus talks about, he says, when you give alms, he's talking about giving to charity, money, but food to the food bank, but it's more than that. What kind of person am I to others? What reaction are people having to my moods or my whatever it is that I do I have a lack of charity or am I selfish in my life? This is a time to ask myself the hard question. This is the first thing Jesus talks about. When you are charitable, do it in secret. This is our program for spiritual growth. When I give alms, am I generous with God? Am I generous with others? When you pray, all of us here, I suppose, all of us are praying right now here at Mass. But Mass will not be very meaningful to me if I'm not praying outside of Mass. At the noon Mass, which was equally as full as this one, we had three cell phones go off in a very inconvenient times, one of which was my own. In the sacristy, but it was so loud, I have a theme from Star Trek, and suddenly Scotty was beaming me up to the Enterprise. And so I said, you know, maybe God's calling us to fast from some media of some kind. When I fast, I skipped one, didn't I? When I fast, nobody wants to fast. But there are a lot of medical procedures that require us to fast. There are many people that do a water fast just to purify their bodies once a month. I had food poisoning three times in the last 3 years, two of which were my own fault. And That's what you get for living alone. Some things, you know, penicillin could be growing on them in there. But, you know, I didn't eat for 2 or 3 days. I survived. We can't even give up one meal for God. Maybe God's calling you to fast. You know, if you start fasting, some television, some computer, fasting from some sin, fasting from some food, a real fast, you will start finding you're going to start having tremendous victories over evil in your life. If I can say no to myself voluntarily, I'm going to begin to say no in my spiritual battles. I'm dealing with unseen forces, both inside of me and the fallen angels that we are battling. We need these spiritual tools. We are not going to make it without them. So it's a challenge. If you start fasting, God's going to return an incredible, he's going to repay you for it, he says. If you start praying more, God's going to repay you. You have a hectic life, you don't know where to pray, your house is never quiet. Can you slip in here to our Adoration Chapel? There's 4 seats, one's got your name on it. Just come in. You want to get the code after hours? Sign up for an hour a week. We'll give you the code. You can come in anytime. There's a lot of other ways to pray, though. One of the good tools and techniques is when I pass under a door frame, my mother used to do this, it's a reminder to say, Jesus, I love you, on the way out. Find your own little reminder, you know. Prayer should be coming from the heart. Our lives should become prayers. But that's a cop-out if I'm not spending some dedicated time in prayer. Maybe I need to change the way I'm praying. So we have these three pillars, and all of us need to grow in all these areas. We find ourselves, it is as if Jesus were looking at us from Jerusalem. From thy picture, I see him sitting there, and he says to us, if you will only recognize the opportunity that I am giving you, one day, one Lent will be your last Ash Wednesday. I would dare to say someone in this room will not be here next year at Ash Wednesday. It's amazing how many people I've buried in the last 7 years in this parish. And I ask myself, I was the last priest that they heard. Was I saying the will of God? You know, Ash Wednesday is when we ask these questions. We can't go there every Sunday, God knows. But this is the day to ask. Am I ready? Lent is a preparation for the world to come. So as we receive these ashes here, which we're going to do in a moment, it is a real call to realign my will with God. What, Lord, is the project that you and I are calling, that we're going to work on together? Which of these three things in particular do you need me to work with you on today?